Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you. Off and rolling on this Tuesday morning. It's a Phillies doubleheader day today up in New York after yesterday's rainout. Of course, Sixers with a win last night. Big game. Biggest of the year is tomorrow versus the Brooklyn Nets. Flyers with a couple moves yesterday on the NHL trade deadline a day. And more on this huge story, of course, about Jeffrey Lurie and the Philadelphia Eagles from The Athletic yesterday on Howie Roseman, Lurie, and the Birds. We'll get to that. Certainly rock your calls. All show, 215-592-9494. Hop aboard those phone lines again. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie, 215-592-9494. Rich.
Joe, I can't hear anything.
Oh, no. John can't hear. He read my lips saying, Richie, he's in a different booth, for those that don't know. Maybe we'll swing John around into this booth. I'll tell you what. I'll give a fact of the day for John because he likes to give a fact of the day. Did you know, Joe, that I can't hear you from this studio right now because something isn't set up right? Well, that apparently is a deal. All right, James, let's just get John in this studio. All right, thank you. We'll get John in here. We'll be able to off and roll we go. Hey, everyone can hop aboard 215-592-9494 for everything that went on yesterday. I love how long it takes John and James to realize. Let me just switch studios. How about the old switcheroo as John walks in here right now? The flummoxed from the beginning is Mr. Richie Rich. John, turn that microphone on if you would, please, sir. James, if you could, get his microphone ready to go, and let's talk some sports here. John, how are you, bud?
I can hear now.
Yeah.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, bud. Hey, we're in the same.
Got a little problem in there.
It's okay. I already gave the fact of the day, by the way.
No, the fact of the day is grasshoppers have green blood.
Well, that's odd.
Like Ming the Merciless. Remember at the end of Flash Gordon?
No, I don't know that.
Really?
No. The only Flash Gordon I know is the old Phillies relief pitcher, Flash Gordon. No, I don't know that.
Ming the Merciless. Well, okay. I won't ruin it for everyone else.
I would say this. We've already spent enough time just trying to get a fact of the day.
Green blood, grasshoppers.
All right, let's get to it. John, I want to describe to you and everyone listening right now, 215-592-9494, a conflict I feel. You know, we talked a lot yesterday, and certainly we'll continue today. This big story from The Athletic by Shiel Kapadia, Bo Wolf, and Zach Berman, entitled Paranoia, Mismanagement, and Office Politics Inside the Eagles' Downfall Under Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman. And, John, I want to describe to you a conflict I feel, and I wonder if others, John, I wonder if you and others out there feel this conflict, because to me the word of the day, at least from my standpoint, is conflict, and let me tell you why. You know, reading the article yesterday, I'm like a lot of people, and, John, I heard your reaction yesterday, and you heard mine. And basically, I'll sum up how we all felt in two words. Total disaster, right? Total disaster. You can put it another way. Unmitigated disaster. Lurie has lost it. This is hopeless. The Eagles are doomed. All of that goes through my mind and, frankly, a lot more. And I look at this as a Philadelphia sports fan, and I say, what is this? What is this nonsense? What is going on with Jeffrey Lurie, and how did it get so far? What is going on with Howie Roseman, and how did this get so far? And then I say to myself, John, when I think about Lurie, I say, well, how did this happen? How did Lurie go from being a great owner to a total disaster? And I say to myself, and I think a lot of people would naturally say, oh, well, hold on, there's a really simple explanation for that. It's Chip Kelly. It's the Chip Kelly experience. And how is, you know, we've talked for a good 5 years now, Jeffrey Lurie, after Chip, took back his team. Lurie took it back and became more involved, right? These are assumptions and beliefs we all have. And then I said to myself, well, hold on here. Hold on, Joe. If Jeffrey Lurie did that after the 2015 season, and then after that, the Eagles rebuilt the roster, won the Super Bowl, made the playoffs 3 years in a row, common sense would tell me if Jeffrey Lurie is so incredibly involved now and was in 2020, common sense would say, well, he was probably incredibly involved in 2016 and 2017.
I believe he was.
So then, John, I say to myself, see, I'm trying to like kind of lay it out here. This is the conflict I feel. The conflict I feel is I don't really quite know what to make of the situation in total. I read the article. My eyes tell me what I saw with the birds in 2020. All the dysfunction that I do believe exists. I want to say I do believe it's real, right? But I say to myself, but then you've got Jeffrey Lurie, who I believe was probably, look, Doug Peterson didn't walk in here with the resume of Bill Parcells with his second job. Like when Parcells went to the Patriots or Parcells went to the Jets, man, that was a Parcells show, right? But I say to myself, that's not what Doug walked in here with. So if Lurie is so involved now, Lurie was probably so involved right after Chip, 2016, 2017. They go on this great run, 3 years of the playoffs. They win the Super Bowl. And so I say to myself, I as a fan, and I wonder if others out there feel this same conflict, and I want to hear from you at 215-592-9494. What to make of this? Like, is it as much of a disaster? I mean, we know the Eagles roster stinks. But Lurie's involvement, John, not just the roster, because you can make the case, hey, they're just in a downturn right now. That, hey, they made some bad picks, and the roster is depleted, and they're in a bad spot. But if Lurie was involved in 2016 and 2017 for an era of glory.
And I believe that he was. Okay, I believe that he took the team back after Chip Kelly, and he has been.
So what do you make of that, John?
Sticking his nose in every department since.
What do you
with
make?
With Roseman as the filter.
What do you make
what
of that?
What do I make of that? Yeah. Roman Quinn hit 2 home runs last year.
Okay.
Roman Quinn stinks.
Well, a bad player can hit 2 home runs.
Okay, he is not a personnel evaluator, Jeffrey Lurie. He should not be sticking his nose where it doesn't belong. Yet, he and Halfrey had some really excellent choices made over 2016-2017. The roster assembled was outstanding. They caught that lightning in a bottle.
Yep.
It worked. That by no means does that indicate that this will work again. Roman Quinn is not a good hitter.
Well, I don't think Roman
Quinn hit 2 home runs.
Yeah, I don't like that example because 2 home runs is a bad year. I mean, if you gave me a different guy,
it feels like Roman Quinn swings and misses every time he's at the plate.
I get it.
There is success occasionally.
I get you.
There was an occasional. Massive success.
But it was 3 years of the playoffs. I mean, it wasn't just the 1 year.
But that's fake, and you know that's fake. We were 5-7. We were down. We were not good. They were going to fire Doug Peterson in 2017. They were going to fire him when the season started.
Well,
they were thinking about a contingency plan. It's a mess. It is a mess. And somehow everything worked that 1 year. To suppose that it will somehow come together and work again is foolish. This is not the way an organization is supposed to be constructed.
See, this is the thing I want to hear from people on today at 215-592-9494. I want you to be real because, guys, I get it. You read this article, you see what you've seen over the last 12 months, and the easy takeaway is total disaster, hopeless, the Eagles are doomed, Lurie has become a terrible owner. Lurie is the modern-day Harold Katz, right? For those that don't know, Harold Katz, about 40 years ago, really bad Sixers owner. Like, that's the easy assumption and the easy belief. But I want you to dig deeper. I'm just asking everyone today at 215-592-9494. I'm going to use the word if. I admit, I'm going to use the word if. If you knew for a fact that Jeffrey Lurie was extremely involved in personnel decisions for the lead-up to the Eagles' 2017 Super Bowl win and the 3-year run for the playoff. If you knew it. Now, I can't prove it. I don't know it for sure, but I tend to believe it. I don't think He just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, started getting his hands more involved in the last 12 months and hadn't been the last 4 years because the chip thing was 5 years ago. If you knew for a fact that Jeffrey Lurie was involved in the Eagles' 2017 Super Bowl run and three-year run for the playoffs, if you knew that for a fact, what would you make of what that means for the Eagles' present and the Eagles' future with Jeffrey Lurie? John, what?
It's going to be a failure. It will be a failure.
But
if
how
it
can you say that?
Course. Here's a great reason why.
Okay.
Because this current regime, as we read in that incredible article yesterday, is marked by an environment of paranoia.
Yeah.
Lack of cooperation, infighting. It's gotten old. Jeffrey Lurie named Howie Roseman the, whatever you'd call him, the emperor of this dynasty. And Howie has fostered an environment where he has turned everyone against him. He's so paranoid that he's checking people's phones for leaks. He's so concerned with holding on to his own job above all else. In my mind, that includes the team's success. I don't think he realizes that. You're losing pieces as we go on. Think about that. Carson Wentz was begging for a way out. Doug Peterson, we believe, punched his own ticket out of town. Jim Schwartz feels like he said, hey, I'm retiring from football. Now he's signed up with the Titans.
Right, right.
Deuce Staley, and the list goes on and on. You wonder Brian Dawkins, what led to his departure? Bridges are being burned. Important parts of that recipe are no longer in the building because of what Howie has created. How's that supposed to work?
Well, look, I mean, we'll hear from everyone at 215-592-9494. I understand, John, the point you're making. And believe me, my first natural inclination is to agree with you, to say, I hate this. I hate, as an Eagles fan, seeing a 4-11-1 team and seeing, you know, in the couple months since that season happened. I mean, we've probably now seen, I'm kind of losing track, but probably three or four really big exposés by some great, really talented writers, different publications here locally, where they just dig in and I would say properly, I'm not saying improperly, properly tear apart the structure of the Eagles, good reporting, that, you know, some stuff's on the record, some stuff's off the record, and it makes the Eagles look ridiculous. And as a fan, I say, I hate it. But then I also say to myself, what if this is the same structure that existed when they won the Super Bowl? And I say to and what does that
I
mean
think
about
it's
the
likely that
okay,
it was.
So I say what does that mean for the present and future?
I think we see what it means.
But let me give you the answer.
We can see the downward spiral. But that's why we're so up in arms about all this.
But the answer I come back to, if I'm really keeping it real, is I've got to say, well, I guess things for the Eagles aren't quite as hopeless as they seem. Because they seem hopeless. The situation seems like a joke. They stink. The owner's making decisions. The general manager's overmatched. The head coach is weak walking in the door. Right. I mean, that's right. But again, this is the conflict because so much of this sets up, I believe, in a way incredibly similar to how it's set up 6 years ago, 5 years ago. Look, right. Let's hear from everyone at 215-592-9494. What do you make of this? Now, we'll go through various aspects of the story as we touched on them yesterday. We'll again dive into them today. The analytics, the Howie stuff, you know, this Hallaby guy. Just so many, you know,
that's huge.
It's huge.
The Hallaby guy, there's a new, well, it's not a new, there's an article that was written in 2013 that we have to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
About the Hallaby
guy. So we'll get to that, you know, the Brian Dawkins aspect. By the way, also the other three teams. I mean, the Phils have a big day today. Sixers have the biggest day of their regular season tomorrow. Brooklyn didn't play yesterday. Sixers, Nets tomorrow. Embiid last night. The guy is just, he is so unbelievable.
He's feeling it.
He is so unbelievable, Joel Embiid. I mean, we are so lucky as Philadelphia sports fans to have this guy as one of our guys. Embiid is awesome. So if you want to react to that game last night, the Flyers moves from yesterday, of course, three moves for the Flyers, two trades and a signing. We'll get to that, and we'll rock your calls all show. Hop aboard on all of it, 215-592-9494. And again, I'll just ask, if you knew Jeffrey Lurie was extremely involved in personnel decisions for the Eagles in 2016 and 2017, and frankly, he probably was. I don't think he just woke up out of bed in 2020 and said, oh, you know what I feel like doing? I feel like being involved in personnel. Now, he's probably been involved in personnel the last 5-6 years. If that was the case, what do you make of it? And what does it mean about the possibility for the Eagles to move forward? Because it common sense tells me, as much as I hate the concept of an owner involved, if it worked once, I guess it can work again. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. That's the conflict I feel. Do you share that conflict? Kenny in Northeast Philly joins us, kicking us off today. What's up, Ken?
Hello, how are you today?
Doing well.
Good, buddy.
I personally think he's involved, okay? And maybe...
Well, we know he's involved. The thought is, was he involved 5 years ago when they sprung to glory? And what does that mean?
Well, from the time that he took the team over, I think he's been involved. I mean, Brahman wasn't involved, and Brahman was sitting in
France,
France on the beach.
But to be fair, Kenny, we know enough about Eagles history, and John certainly knows enough as a former player to know he was not involved like this when Andy Reid was here. He just wasn't.
No,
we know that. So this doesn't go back to 1994 when Lurie took over, or 2000 in that era. This is a last 5 years. What to make of it there?
Well, I think they know that they have a mess in their hand, and he also wants to know where his money's going. You know what I mean?
Well, every rich guy wants to know where his money goes.
I mean, could I just comment on the Jefferson pick for a moment?
Sure.
Anybody who watches football and understands football, I mean, I don't follow college football, but I looked up both their stats, okay, when they were in college. Anybody who made that pick would have to know to pick Jefferson. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was very obvious based on production.
These owners are multi-millionaires, okay? They could have flipped a coin. They could have said, I want Jefferson, I want, and they flipped a coin, and Minnesota won the coin flip.
Yeah, I mean, here's the one thing I'll say, Kenny, and appreciate the call. Look, obviously Justin Jefferson should have been the pick. We all know that. The reality is, if you take yourself back in that time, I think there was two things working against Justin Jefferson that some people have lost. Look, it was the wrong pick. We get it. You should have picked Jefferson. But the two things I think at the time a lot of people thought were, one, slot receiver. Eagles had just gone down the experience of Nelson Agholor, first-round pick, and, you know, ultimately moved him to the slot. That's not the most appealing thing for a first-rounder. And that when there was a thought that Jefferson's maybe more of a slot receiver. The second thing that I think at the time, and this is not an unreasonable position to hold, is that he's in an offense at LSU with the number one quarterback in the country. They got a star running back. They got all these offensive linemen. They got other wide receivers. It's one of the great offenses in college football history. And so, you know, it becomes easier to rack up numbers when you're in an offense where that guy's a five-star, that guy's a five-star, that guy's a five-star, that guy's a five-star. Hey, the guy throwing the ball is going to be the number one pick in the draft. So you do have to, when you evaluate college football players, say, what's around them? And how much easier did that make it for the player? I mean, frankly, that's one of the discussion points for these two Alabama receivers. How do you evaluate them when, you know, you play for Alabama? Makes it a little easier.
What if that decision was born from the relationship that's developed between Howfrey and Alec Hallaby? Alec Hallaby, the article that I read was written by Shiel in 2013.
Oh, you mean, okay, that one. Yep, I'm with you.
A different article than the one that we talked about yesterday.
Okay.
This is just a little excerpt from the article. And again, this is 2013, and this is Howie talking. I'm positive in today's world Howie would not say these things.
Okay.
But this was, what, 3 years into his tenure as the whatever.
Yeah, general manager.
The GM. This is the beginning of his tenure.
And by the way, I'd also say this is, I mean, I don't know what month this is, but presumably this is when Howie's power goes up because Andy's gone, and now Howie, not Andy, for the first time, has final say on Eagles personnel. Let's remember, Howie had the same title 2010, 11, 12, 13. But Howie's power went up 2013 with the exit of Andy and Chip coming in. All right, I'm with you.
So, and they've put a greater emphasis on the analytics and the statistics.
It's his show to run.
And remember, Alec Hallaby is a guy who Jeffrey's son is close to from their time at Harvard together.
Hav.
So this from the article. Like most NFL teams, the Eagles are reluctant to cite specific examples of how they use analytics. but Roseman referred to Hallaby as a safeguard of sorts. If Roseman sees a player he likes on tape and is giving serious consideration to drafting or signing him, he'll often call on Hallaby for a different method of evaluation. And Hallaby will sometimes come back with answers Roseman doesn't want to hear. So just envision this in terms of Justin Jefferson and Jalen Reagor.
Sure.
He'll come back with the research, and I'll be disappointed. I'll go, I really like this guy. I'll try to convince him, and he'll say, you can do whatever you want, obviously, but the chances are we're playing very highly against the odds. I'll take 24 hours, and I'll realize that's the right decision, and that's what we've got to do.
Wow.
So, again, Alec Hallaby.
Yeah.
A kid, inexperienced beyond high school football in the ways of the NFL, but an analytics guy. You know, they've built a new war room in the building. They moved people's departments around.
Yep.
People are up in arms within the building about the way they've emphasized this guy's power.
Yep.
And his influence. Alec Hallaby was probably, you know, conferred with on that pick. Because this is 2013. Now he's been in the building for, you know, 7 more years past that.
Yep.
Growing in influence and power, despite the fact that we didn't know his name until yesterday when that article came out.
Yeah.
Sort of a dirty little secret.
Well, listen, I agree with you. I mean, it's you find out the kind of the man behind the man. I mean, you know, I think the look, John, the analytics thing is such a controversial thing in sports. I do believe there's great value in it. It's just all about making sure you don't run amok with it. You know, the heart of the player still matters.
Yeah, I think they veered too far.
They might have. With that said, I mean, there is a lot of, I would say, evidence that analytics can help a team in sports.
Sure.
Both acquire players and figure out how to perform within a game.
Now, we've been sitting here trying to figure out a reason why our draft record, how Free's draft record has been so poor over the last few years. They're doing something different than a lot of other teams are.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're not right.
They have
an
additional filter that I believe is filtering things the wrong way. If you're going and picking Jalen Reagor, that when Justin Jefferson seemed like the no-brainer, maybe there's more to that decision than we know.
Well, for all we know,
Jeffrey is the guy in charge who's saying, okay, we're going to lend our ear to this additional filter.
Right.
Alec Hallaby and his staff.
Yeah.
And I think it's working against us. That's Jeffrey in charge.
Listen, you could be right. The flip side of this is, and this, I guess, supports your argument that Hallaby might have been involved in Reagor over Jefferson. The possibility, maybe Hallaby's got data over 20 years of college football. Hey, when you draft a player, a wide receiver, from a great offense, top five team, maybe they win the national championship, maybe they don't, there's strong evidence that when that player goes to the pros, that player underperforms the expectation because he's no longer surrounded by 5 stars compared to 3 stars. Mm-hmm. Now he's just one of a bunch of guys in the pros who are, you know, all 4 or 5 stars essentially.
Sure.
And there's evidence, go to the guy from the lesser school, might not have put up the same numbers, but this guy's going to be better than that guy. I mean, that's a possibility.
In my mind, it's classically overthinking.
Might be.
What should be very simple.
Look, maybe it is, maybe it's not. We'll take your reaction on that and all of this. 215-592-9494. Your reaction to this article. Again, from yesterday, paranoia, mismanagement, and office politics inside the Eagles' downfall under Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman from the Athletics. What do you make of the analytics component of it, the Hallaby role? And also, do you agree with my assertion that if Jeffrey Lurie is so involved now, and he clearly is, he probably was in 2016 and 2017 when they won the Super Bowl, and that leads me to draw the conclusion that maybe things aren't as hopeless as it feels. It feels disastrous. But then I say, wait a minute. Lurie did this 5 years ago, and they won the Super Bowl. What do you make of it? Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie, do you feel that conflict like I do on 94 WIP?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!